Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Matt Beebe and Steve Allison, they're the two candidates in the Republican runoff for State House District 121. And this is the seat that Speaker Joe Strauss is giving up. Allison declined her invitation to come on board and discuss the issues with you live, but Matt Beebe did not. He is here with us, and he's here now to discuss his plans, if elected for a state representative, what direction that he wants the Republican Party to go in. And so this is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. We really want to hear from Republican voters who will be participating in the primary for District 121. And so, Matt Beebe, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here, sir.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So let me say early voting begins on Monday, May 14th, and goes to May 18th. Election day is May 22nd. So, Matt Beebe, just tell me, why are you a Republican?
Well, so I was, born into a conservative family, and I was reared with the values that I think most conservatives, even though I wasn't born here, I got here as fast as I could. I think they're traditional Texas values, that faith and family, freedom and liberty are important things. And so it was very easy for me from the very early, probably high school years where I started to get more politically interested, that I was a conservative, the types of economic issues, the types of social issues, the types of long-term constitutional issues were what resonated with me. And so that's kind of where I found my home in the Republican Party since, sort of the beginning, if you will, from my political activism. Haven't ever looked back.
So your opponent in the runoff, Steve Allison, he's not here today, and so we will try to do is figure out a way for you to distinguish yourself from him. Voters will know exactly what they're getting when they show up and they vote, whether they, who's this Matt Beebe, who's this Steve Allison. So we know that Steve Allison got the endorsement for Joe Strauss, the Republican candidate who's held the seat and who was the Speaker of the House, and not you. And that Joe Strauss said that this guy, he's the most qualified person of the bunch who was running for the seat. So what do you think that, what does that mean to you that the opponent got the endorsement of Joe Strauss?
Well, that was not an endorsement I was anticipating getting, right? We contest every vote in the district, but there are some that we're probably not in the running for. Having previously run against Speaker Strauss, there was, I think, a reluctance there to embrace my perspective, I guess, on some of the things. But, I think it's great that, the Speaker has made it clear where his support is. I have been portrayed a little bit because I was in the arena as somebody who just couldn't stand Speaker Strauss or said all these horrible things about him. And, I have great respect for Joe. If you go back and look at what my campaign had done for two cycles, I will stand behind every word we said, every mail we sent, every Facebook post we made. Now, there were some outside groups that got a little bit more aggressive with some of their messaging, which we had no ability to control or even coordinate with. But, Joe is definitely somebody who has a point of view and a perspective. He's a voter in the district, and I guess it's okay that he's got a preference.
So people are seeing you and Steve Allison as very different kind of candidates. You, very social conservative candidate, and that's not to say that Steve Allison isn't, but he also has is seen as more as a business, pro-business candidate, even though you're also pro-business candidate. But I'm just trying to see, is it fair to sort of, because you have come out really hard in some other areas on the social conservative spectrum than your opponent. Is that true?
Well, I guess I'm not sure what you mean by come out really hard.
You're more to the right.
Well, yeah, I think I'm the most conservative candidate in the race, for sure. A lot of the issues that, kind of causes eye rolls or makes people uncomfortable a little bit sometimes when the state legislature delves into them, they're not my, I don't want to go up to Austin to be a preacher-in-chief or the bathroom cop or any of that sort of thing. But what I will tell you is that I've got a particular set of values that I'm willing to fight for, and if you want to come and try to push Texas in a direction that I don't think it is appropriate, and I don't think it reflects the values of the voters in the district, then yeah, I'm going to stand up and push back against those. But that's, I'm not on some social issue crusade up there like I've been painted by some. That's just not my approach.
Okay, so how would you have voted on the bathroom bill?
Well, so let's let's make sure we're going to talk about the same thing here.
Because, okay, great.
The Texas Privacy Act, which most people know as the bathroom bill, because it has been characterized by the media as a way to regulate bathrooms. I think most people, probably most of your listeners, haven't actually read the text of the bill. And so real quick, there were really two fundamental things that that bill attempted to do. Number one was it pushed back on the Obama mandate that said all schools must accommodate any and all gender identities and allow them to participate in any rec room, changing room, locker room, bathroom, at whatever the decision of the individual child, and this important distinction, child, made within that school environment. So in the tiny, tiny percentage of issues where this was actually a real deal, where schools had already been handling it with discretion and professionalism, we had the Obama mandate come in and say, you must do it this way. And so that's something that was appropriate to push back against. Then the other aspect of that bill was some of the more liberal cities across the state had started with, whether it would be the NDO here, the non-discriminatory ordinance here, or the HERO ordinance in Houston, started to force small businesses and larger businesses as well to comply with a radical social agenda that said you must do this or otherwise you can't participate in city contracts. And that is discrimination at, you know, really fundamentally. And so it said, you know what, we're not going to let that happen in the state of Texas. So yes, I reluctantly, and I only say reluctantly because it's not an issue that I think we really ought to be spending a whole lot of time in, but if you're going to bring that kind of issue to my front porch, I'm going to push back on it. And so yeah, I would have reluctantly supported the Texas Privacy Act, but I think it's absolutely something that we need to be willing to stand up for.
All right. The phone number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. With me in the studio is Matt Beebe. He's a Republican runoff candidate for House District 121. His opponent, Steve Allison, declined to come talk to us this afternoon. And if he wants to call in now, he has every opportunity to do so. So just to refresh, you're saying that you would have voted for the so-called bathroom bill. And so also, but you have come out, you're opposed to, because you're saying that you're not the social conservative that people are trying to paint you as.
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm not that. I mean, the characterization by folks as trying to demonize me because I have a strongly held set of views and I'm willing to fight and push for them, tries to sort of characterize me as that's the, you know, I'm Johnny One Note on the social issues or something. No, I'm not. I'm just going to stand up for those issues. Absolutely. But to suggest that I'm not pro-business or pro-free market as the next guy, I'm a small business owner. I've got, you know, dozens of other businesses that I support in my business, and I understand what they're going through. I've had lots of conversations. You know, I pay a lot of property taxes myself. You know, all of those issues and making sure we keep Texas great has been a bedrock of my campaign and what I talk about on the campaign trail, and that's resonating with more and more voters across the district. And yeah, absolutely. You know, in me, you have somebody who's going to be willing to stand up and fight when those issues come to our front porch.
Okay. So hopefully listeners will get a better idea of where you are on these issues and not depend upon your demonized characterization by others. So marriage equality, same-sex marriage, you have come out, you're opposed to that.
I believe with the vast majority of Texans that marriage should be one man and one woman ordained by God.
And would there be, and that's been decided by the Supreme Court, that marriage equality is the law. Do you think that the state should be able to make some sort of ruling in that area?
Well, I'm comfortable with where we're at as a nation on that issue. You know, I don't believe it really reflects the values of Texans. I think the majority of Texans are still uncomfortable with that. But I'm not on a crusade to roll back the Supreme Court ruling on that.
Another area that you've put your stake on is the anti-casino gambling. You've put your chip firmly on anti-casino gambling in Texas.
Well, that actually hasn't been an issue that's come up in this campaign. I definitely don't believe that casinos do a net good to society. There's a lot of talk about the tax revenue that might materialize. But look, I grew up in Michigan around the Detroit area as they legalized casino gambling, and it took them nearly 30 years to recognize that, boy, this is not the economic driver that we were promised. That added to the significant downstream social cost that encircles the geographies typically where you've legalized casino gambling, and I'm talking about whether it be crime or other alcoholism or other types of challenges on our mental health system, it's actually not a net benefit, studies have consistently shown. Now, I'm not particularly against gambling. If adults want to do that, that's fine. I've played blackjack, my time or two myself, but I don't think it's good for Texas. It's not good for the Texas economy, and it's certainly not good for the Texas citizens.
Right. So your view on that is not based upon a moral code, but more on the fact this doesn't make economic sense. And we've got plenty of data that shows that when you bring casino gambling into a community, that it actually takes away jobs. It does not provide the tax benefits that people claims it does. And it's really just really not a benefit.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
So why do you think your opponent's not here? Why did Steve Allison skip?
I don't know. I'd be hesitant to speculate.
All right. How do you feel? I mean, you think you're going to get a fair shot here, talking about what you're doing, and here you are. You got a half hour. You guys could have been talking to each other, and instead it's just going to be you.
Well, I think the opportunity for call-in and dialogue, and whether, I know you've got some prepared questions as well, and it's an opportunity to do that. Would that have benefited voters in the district to see more contrast and see that? Yeah, it's great.
But doesn't it speak to the point that you're going to be open and transparent and keep a dialogue open, and it's not going to be sort of a closed one-way conversation with the community?
Well, absolutely. And if you dial, we won't, I don't know, I'm supposed to advertise the Facebook and the website and everything, but if you dial the campaign phone number, that rolls over to my cell phone. So it's funny, sometimes it goes straight to voicemail because we've got other things going on, but I'll answer the phone and people, is Mr. Beebe, is that you? Absolutely. So I'm always been, and I've had some uncomfortable conversations with voters that we've walked away from very respectful. But the vast majority of folks that are reaching out have been very positive.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. 1 minute break. We'll be right back. The number to call in if you've got a question for Matt Beebe is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Source continues after this quick break. This is Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Matt Beebe, Republican runoff candidate for District House 121. This is a seat that Joe Strauss held. He's going to be going in, he's running in a runoff against Stephen Allison, and Stephen Allison declined the opportunity to come have the forum discussion this afternoon. Early voting begins on May 14th. Election day is May 22nd. So, Matt Beebe, let's go to a caller, and this is Mike. And Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. My question for the candidate is, based on what I've heard so far, it sounds like he wants Texas to reflect his views rather than his reflection of the views of Texas. Specifically relating to gambling, when I travel, I see more Texas license plates in the casino parking lots in Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Louisiana than I do the residents of those particular states. So why does he think that Texas should reflect his values?
All right, Mike, thank you for that question. So, Matt Beebe?
Yeah, so I'm not sure that I'm pushing that from a perspective of my values. From an economic standpoint, the math just doesn't work. I think representative isn't just a title, it's a job description. So I'm very concerned about making sure that my approach to the legislative session next year, if I'm so elected, is representative of the values of the district. So I reject the premise a little bit on that, because I think the approach on casino gambling is more of an economic basis that I've studied and looked into. The fact that I don't think it's really a wise way to spend your time is really separate from that.
So you've asked Allison to commit for a Republican for speaker. So I guess this is a question that kind of gets at how we've elected speakers in the past, including like Joe Strauss, which have been using Democrat representatives to kind of come together and form a coalition, even though they're not the majority in the House. If they can find some Republicans and enough Democrats to come together, they can figure out who the speaker would be. And you're saying this has got to stop?
Well, it's the Republican Party platform. The state Republican Executive Committee has pushed the idea. There's a group in the Republican caucus in the House that said, let's change our rules. Let's do a secret ballot vote in caucus, and then let's all agree to support whoever we come up with. Let's not give the Democrats undue influence in that process. And that, has been looked at as a way to ensure that we get a more conservative speaker, which I think is a laudable goal. But there were six candidates in this race originally. I'm, you know, five of us committed to supporting that approach and said, you know what, I will caucus with my Republican colleagues, and then I will join with them on the floor. That's, you know, that's the first vote we have as newly sworn in legislators. I think it's very important to let the people know that he's reserving the right to be a free agent on that. And I don't think that's going to facilitate a good conservative representative as our next speaker.
So the method that you want to switch to is more aligned with the way in Washington, D.C. that they pick the Speaker of the House. And the way that we do it here in Austin has been kind of called a Texas way, and people have seen it as more of a way to find a candidate, a spokesperson, a person in the House who will represent more of the views of average Texans.
Well, I think there's a little bit of a false comparison there, because even though the Republicans in Washington, D.C. do in fact caucus to make their selection and then vote on the floor and bank, the composition of the Republicans in Washington, D.C. is really different than the composition of Republicans in Texas. And so I think here in Texas, we can be confident that will result in a conservative choice, whereas maybe the constituency that would be pushing for a conservative speaker to replace Speaker Ryan probably doesn't have as high a percentage amongst the Republican caucus as we do here in Texas, thankfully.
So let's talk about education and education funding in Texas. It's something that you've touched upon on your campaign. Can you talk about where do you think we ought to be going?
Well, so public education is obviously one of the most important things that the state does. It's reflected in the prioritization of our dollars. We spend over 52% of the state budget supporting education and higher education. And so we need to be very, very careful about how we apply those funds and how we set a scheme in motion to ensure that there's accountability for those funds. So I want to make sure we're driving dollars from the classroom, you know, not throwing money at the system. There's an opposing view that the only conversation we need to be having is how much more money. And, you know, I believe that we are bound by our Texas Constitution that says we should have a free and efficient form of public education. And that's something I want to make sure we have that conversation for.
So you think that Texas state spending on public education is adequate at this point, or is it too much or too little?
I think the amount is probably adequate. I mean, but that goes to the very basis of the challenge here is we know how much we spend, but we don't actually know how much it costs to educate a child in Texas. And so there's a lot of different viewpoints. I mean, I believe that Texas schools have done a fabulous job with the resources they have. And so this idea that all we should be talking about is getting them more money, I think really is beside the point.
But more money is an issue. I mean, there are lots of people who think that the schools are not being funded at an adequate level. And these are educators.
Well, absolutely. And there's a little bit of a bias there for sure, obviously, at some level. But let's take the example over the last 18 years since the charter school movement has happened in Texas, where we've driven innovation and efficiency reforms. We have some charter schools and campuses and programs across the state that are dramatically reducing the cost of education and doing some amazing things from an outcomes standpoint. So I'm not convinced that more money is the right answer, and I think that's a conversation that we need to have and roll our sleeves up.
We've also seen some charter schools deliver dismal results as well. So, you know, if you can hold up some as examples of what the model, what the current situation provides, we have to look at all of them.
Well, absolutely. And as you know, the charter school process by which the charter is granted, it also comes with a pretty big stick. And so we've revoked charters from underperforming schools. And it's a lot easier to do that than it is to, you know, legislatively mandate fixes for the traditional public schools, which frankly, in our district in 121, we're blessed with some pretty good school systems, but that's not the case across the state. And some of these failing school systems are just flat out ignoring their responsibility to parents and taxpayers and really the children of Texas to do a better job.
So we're speaking with Matt Beebe. He's a Republican runoff candidate for Texas House District 121. His opponent in the runoff is Steve Allison, and the victor in the runoff will go on to November and it will face Selena Montoya, the Democrat, in the general election for this seat. So a lot of people know you, Matt Beebe, as someone who is made your bones as a person who is a right-to-life individual, correct?
Absolutely. believe that we should protect life from conception till natural death, and really the natural death portion of that is becoming a bigger issue as well in Texas.
So what kind of legislation, what kind of laws do you think Texas ought to pass?
Well, so right now in Texas, what we just saw in England, where the state mandated essentially the death of a young infant, you know, that kind of thing actually is technically legal in Texas. It could happen here in Texas under the Texas Advanced Directive Act, which needs to be reformed. Frankly, I think it probably needs to be completely repealed. But that's an important issue that we need to look at, is whether or not we're giving fully informed consent to families and caregivers and guardians, or we're allowing staffers and representatives, essentially representatives and extensions of the government, make unilateral life-ending decisions.
So, but insurance companies make those decisions all the time.
Well, there's a difference between an allocation of resources, because we can't afford to do everything, and a choice to say this child or this infant or this adult or this person that's infirm or sick for whatever reason is not worth saving. And this was not a question, like in England, this was not a question about whether or not they could afford to do it. It was a question that they believed that he wasn't worth saving. And we see that in Texas here too, whereas the staff at a hospital can decide that they're going to withhold treatment. And there's a very, very narrow window of opportunity where the family or caregivers can find alternative accommodations for them. I think it's less than 10 days in most cases, which is impractical.
Well, don't insurance companies decide life-denying procedures and medication for children and adults on an ongoing basis based upon their profit margins? And what about those concerns?
Well, it happens
on a much more frequent basis than this one child that you have in another country.
Well, so I think we have to look at the fact that as legislators, we have to focus our resources on the contours of the policy that's going to guide whether they be doctors and whether they be insurance administrators and that sort of thing. So I want to make sure that while private companies are always going to have to make resource allocation choices, we are not in America allowing people to die for lack of resources.
We're not. Are you sure about that?
I don't really think that, no.
Okay, and so what kind of laws would you put in there that would restrict the abortion availability in Texas?
Well, so I side with the two-thirds of Texans, at least two-thirds of Texan Republicans in the recent primary that think abortion ought to be ended in Texas. And so I don't believe that we should have abortion. If we're going to say that a life is worth protecting and we're going to use the machinery of the state to insist upon that, then we should not allow there to be exceptions where the child is sick or conceived in a crime, and those children can be killed or not. You know, I believe that that is life. I believe that it's appropriate for the state to intervene and protect that life, and so we darn well better be consistent about it.
So what kind of penalties, criminal penalties, how long in jail should a woman go for if she has an abortion?
Now, you know, let's be careful here. So you're putting words into my mouth.
No, I'm not asking questions.
So I don't believe that a woman who makes that terrible decision should be put in jail for that. Absolutely not.
Okay, then. Matt Beebe, he is the Republican candidate in the runoff for Texas House District 121. His opponent in the runoff is Steve Allison, and the winner of the runoff will go to the general election. They'll face Selena Montoya, the Democrat, in the general election. Early voting begins on Monday, May 14th, runs through May 18th. Election day is May 22nd, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.